much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's so rich and creamy, and I love that it's all natural.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So, Brett Jermaine, tell me about yourselves. What sort of music do you guys like?
Rock.
Yeah.
Funk.
Yes.
Country.
Yeah.
Hair band.
Yeah.
Yes.
Synth.
Yeah.
Blues.
Yes. So,
jazz.
Yes.
Yes.
Jazz fusion.
Yeah.
Cool.
You guys are champions.
Okay, well, I'm not the musician, all right? You guys know what you're talking about.
And now,
there will be no food fights, no water fights, no dog fights, although there will be surprises that come even unexpected by me. So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for him, right?
Our feature presentation.
I believe I am falling in love with Gary Busey all over again.
He is going to give and give and give.
Yes, he is.
He is just a font of goodness.
Oh, I love him so much. Gary Busey, Oscar-nominated actor at one point, now a crazy old man, a crazy old person who screams things at other people.
Yes.
He is one of the contestants on Celebrity Apprentice, and apparently he called the Kevin and Bean show yesterday, so we'll be talking about that later on today.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes, apparently so. And our crack Kevin and Bean support staff deigned not to put him through. So that's a story in itself.
All right.
So anyway, before we talk about that, before we talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday. It is the 8th of March, or as Ralph would say, brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah.
Here's an awesome, awesome story that I love so much, even though it is, even though the hero of this story is the bad guy who ripped off $238,000, I have to give it up to the mad ingenuity of this robber. This is unbelievable. There's a Brinks security guard who is transferring cash between two Caribbean islands. He has $250,000 cash that he puts in the hold of the plane that they're on. They're a small plane, island hopper, right?
Mm-hmm.
An Air Antilles plane. So he has all this money that he puts in the cargo hold. Well, one of the passengers on the plane somehow knows that, says he's ill, spends most of the flight in the restroom of the small plane. While he's there, he's taking apart the restroom panels to get into the cargo section of the plane where he steals the money.
It
sounds like something out of a James Bond movie
or something.
Doesn't it? I mean, like, how is this real? How is somebody this awesome in 2011 that you have the stones to go back into the bathroom on a short flight between islands in the Caribbean, and you manage to take the panels off, get in there, steal almost $250,000? He's traveling with a woman. She's apparently concerned about his health, asks the flight attendant to radio ahead and get an ambulance to meet the guy at the airport so that he can speedily get out of the airport.
Well, that's brilliant.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like somebody wrote this as a movie. They land. He's helped off the plane. He's heading toward the ambulance. And then he says, oh, I don't know. Suddenly I feel better. I think I'm going to be okay. And he walks away into the night with $238,000, ladies and gentlemen.
No kidding.
I can't even believe that. Obviously, they're looking for the guy, and I don't know the rest of the story in terms of if he was traveling under an assumed name or how they're going to, you know, what kind of luck they're going to have tracking him down. But the cleaners who came on to service the plane afterwards found some money in the lavatory, which raised the alarm. But by all accounts, so far, he got away with it, ripped it off from Brinks. So I just applaud his ingenuity. I mean, you could give me a week, and I couldn't figure out how to take a airplane toilet apart to be able to get into a cargo hold to start stealing stuff.
The only thing that would have made it cooler is if the guy, when they called for the ambulance, they actually ended up calling his friend who had an ambulance who was waiting. That's the only piece that was, and then they sped off together.
Yes, exactly. That would have been his cover, right?
Yep.
It's like an Ocean's 11 film. I love it so much. I just can't. I mean, it's just like, you know, there's some stuff that you think is movies only and doesn't exist in real life, like pirates, right? Mm-hmm. And then a story comes along like Somalia, and you go, there are people who are getting up today whose job it is to put on the eye patch and to polish up the peg leg and to go out there and be a pirate. That's his job.
That's true.
So anyway, I love that dude. That's
that dude
all
earned that money.
He did earn that money. And I think even if they find it, they should say, you know what? It's yours.
Yes.
Well done. All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Good morning, vagina.
First of all, Gary Busey called the program yesterday. I don't know if I mentioned that or not.
When did he call? What time?
Apparently sometime, I think it was near the end of the show. I think we were maybe talking about Celebrity Apprentice or something like that. And he wanted to come on. So unfortunately, we have to fire producer Alex today because obviously there was some sort of a screw up.
Did she not think it was him?
We'll let her explain what happened, but apparently it was quite convoluted, the route that it took to finally get to her.
Well, it is Gary Busey, too, so is. Everything is convoluted.
you have to take everything with a grain of salt when it's Gary Busey. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. Also, trouble in Facebookville, and this doesn't have to do with their privacy settings this time. More and more people are saying, hey, Facebook is killing my relationship for a number of different reasons. Apparently, producer Alex found an article that said 1 in 5 marriages now that break up are citing Facebook as a contributing factor that led to their divorce.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if it's just, I guess we'll find out, we'll hear more about it, but I don't know if it's just that people are in touch with more, their social circle is larger, they're in touch with way more people than they used to be before. There was such an easy way to do it, and maybe that just brings more temptation into the fold.
Just the way that email did when that first started happening. Yeah,
if you only have to worry about the people that your spouse sees in person, it's a much smaller universe than it is if it's the entire world out there on at their fingertips with the internet.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that on the program today. Of course, yesterday we announced the Kevin and Bean 3rd Annual April Foolishness Concert, which is coming up on April the 2nd. You can go to kevinandbean.com for details, but tickets go on sale for Street Team members this Thursday at 10. Once again, it's an unbelievable lineup, including our friends Patton Oswalt and Jay Moore and Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Burr and so much more. Again, get details at kevinandbean.com. We'll tell you more later and give you a chance to win those tickets. We've got Would You Like to Take That Back on the Kevin and Bean Show today?
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced, and I put up a post this morning at kevinandbean.com, that Eric Clapton killed a guy, possibly a hooker, maybe a drifter.
What?
But it had to go to a laundromat to destroy the evidence so they didn't end up with any blood in his house. I'm convinced that that's going on, and I think that people are just looking the other way because they're so wrapped up in Charlie Sheen right now. I think they're letting him get away with murder.
Huh. Okay.
I have a theory.
All right.
And the great Fred Willard joins us on the program in about a half an hour from right now. One of the all-time best improvisational actors in the world. You know him from everything from Best in Show to Spinal Tap to a million TV shows. The guy is just a genius, and he's got a bunch of new projects coming up. He's always a lot of fun, so we'll talk to Fred, like I say, in about 25 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph has our first look at the show, Bisbee, right after this. We'll be right back. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, home of destination number 7 of the K-Rock World Tour 2011. We're talking System of a Down in Berlin, Germany. You win tickets to see him at the Forum, and then you're on the standby boarding list for the grand prize, your chance to win. Coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock, it is 5:51. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
I'm good. Before I get to showbiz news, I'd like to give away some more passes to the movie The Lincoln Lawyer, starring Matthew McConaughey. This movie looks awesome. Matt back as a lawyer again, a buff lawyer. A lawyer with great abs, but a lawyer nonetheless. It all happens at the Arclight in Hollywood, California on Thursday, March the 10th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday the 18th, so don't feel too bad if you don't get into the red carpet world premiere. It would be a lot cooler if you did.
Sure.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call if you'd like to go. First three callers who get through will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of The Lincoln Lawyer. Speaking of passes and tickets to things, I went to one of those Paley Fest evenings last night.
Oh, which one?
I went to an evening with White Collar. I don't know if you're watching White Collar on the USA Network.
I don't watch that, no.
Oh, it's good. It's so good. So good. I know Kevin's a big fan. The finale is tonight. But they showed it beforehand to the crowd, which was pretty cool. Sometimes they'll do that if you go to this.
It's pretty cool.
Paley Fest. It's pretty cool. And, yeah, so it was a good night. So I dig that Paley Fest. What if I'll have an evening at Paley Fest for the cast and crew of 2 and a Half Men as a memorial? Yeah, another day, another Charlie Sheen story. This time, couldn't help but get a little chuckle. Folks over at Warner Brothers sent a little letter to Charlie's lawyers saying, your client's services will no longer be needed.
How about that? I must confess, by the way, that I am surprised to see them not get in a room, as was rumored, and talk it out and put the show back on the air because everybody stands to make so much money.
Yeah.
I really thought that they would see past everything and work through this. I was surprised by the news yesterday.
Listen, greed runs Hollywood, well, as it does most industries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all thought that the desire to continue making large amounts of money would win out over all these hassles. But it just goes to show you what a pain in the ass Charlie Sheen must be.
No kidding.
If Warner Brothers and CBS are willing to say, you know what, never mind. Let's just wash our hands of the whole thing.
If you're going to fire the biggest star on your network, that shows you how much you don't want to be in business with that dude.
Yeah. They said they've got a legal position to fire Charlie for cause due to felony acts of moral turpitude.
Ooh.
Dude. Oh, love me some moral turpitude. They say his trashing the hotel room at the Plaza Hotel is onset failures because of drug fatigue. His rants against Chuck Lorre also all factored into the decision. They said basically his admission, more or less, that he was distributing cocaine to those porn stars at that big party was reason enough.
Now, Sheen has been saying in recent interviews, Ralph, that he did not have a morals clause in his contract.
I know. I believe that may be wrong. Because okay. It sounds like, I'm guessing the lawyers at Warner Brothers know what they're doing.
I imagine so. This is, will this end up in court or will this just be a settlement? They'll give him a big check to go away.
That's a good question. I guess it depends on how much he wants. I know Warner Brothers says they've got their legal team in place already. Chuck Lorre, executive producer of that show, also has a big-time Hollywood lawyer named Howard Weitzman who's going to handle his side of the mess. So I guess we'll have to see how the thing shakes out. But, yeah, as of right now, Charlie Sheen fired from Two and a Half
Fired,
minutes.
Yeah. I know he did another Ustream last night to talk about it. I didn't care enough to tune in. But I did see on TMZ that at one point yesterday afternoon, after the news had broken, that he was on the top of a building in Beverly Hills waving a machete around, talking about how he was free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I swear to God.
I know he did make an announcement yesterday saying it was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. And now he doesn't have to wear those horrible shirts anymore that he wore on that show.
Uh-huh.
And now he's going to get bazillions of dollars from Warner Brothers because they're in breach of their contract. So we'll see what happens.
He does seem clear and focused, and he probably would be capable of doing a movie right now and showing up and knowing his lines and being good.
Yeah.
I don't know who wants to be in business with Charlie Sheen right now.
And insurance is an issue.
Yeah, it's true. And I don't know about him being good. He may be entertaining, but I don't know acting-wise whether he could show up and deliver a role. And could whatever role he took, unless it was a wild party dude, would the public at this point, with everything still fresh in their minds, be able to separate the public Charlie Sheen from the performing Charlie Sheen?
No, absolutely not. You're right on that.
However, Mark Cuban says he is offering Charlie a show on his HDNet network. Cuban says Sheen will decide what format it could be, so it could be a talk show. I guess that's one way to get press for HDNet, which as far as I can discern is really basically sports no one watches and then chicks in bikinis on the beach in high definition. That's the only advertisement I've ever seen for anything on HDNet, so maybe Cuban's got an idea.
It's not Monday nights on CBS, Charlie, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not. Charlie says he'd like to make a movie about his life. And would like Mel Gibson to play his sidekick. Yeah, sure you would, Charlie. I think Mel's crazy, but he's not that crazy. He wouldn't take that gig. So.
You must stop talking, my man. I'm like, why? I'm the only one making sense. Didn't make the rules.
Yeah, you do make sense, Charlie. Justin Bieber tweeted yesterday that he is not shaving anymore because he wants everyone to see his mustache. Oh, for God's sakes. I hope he does decide to shave. It's with a shotgun.
He's
all grown up.
He's happy about going through puberty and wants to share that experience with his fans, it sounds like.
Well, how many years do you think he's going to have to not shave to get a mustache going?
I don't know. If he's anything like me, about 6 months before you can see it.
Lisa, trouble's on Broadway, Lisa.
No.
Yes.
What?
Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Yes.
New York Times says the producers are thinking about kicking out their director, Julie Traymore. Now, she, of course, was the big powerhouse behind
Lion King.
Lion King, yeah. She is the director of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, and producers are talking about cutting her loose.
They think this is all her fault?
Well, look, they got to blame somebody, right? They're already asking Bono and the Edge from U2 to make changes in the script and music. And the New York Times says the show may once again have to push back their opening date, which is currently scheduled for March 15th. It may be later in the year for them to get their troubles worked out.
Hasn't it already been playing for 6 months?
Well, yes. In previews, it's not quite ready to open yet.
Right.
This is historic, what's happening with this show.
They got to bury the bodies first before they open.
I don't know anybody who's ever been to a play. Do you? You know anybody who's ever been to a play? Why would you? You have a television?
Lisa's been to plays.
Yeah.
Speaking of Broadway once again, Green Day's frontman Billy Joe Armstrong just wrapped up his run as St. Jimmy in the band's Broadway musical American Idiot.
Which is coming here next year.
Is it?
Yes.
All right. Ticket sales when he left the show took a serious nosedive, however. Mm-hmm. Billy Joe did a 50-show run at the end of February, and once he left, the box office grows from the box office gross went from $1.3 million to a little less than $400,000.
Wow. He's the draw.
He is, and it may have something to do with who took over for him. Davey Havoc of AFI took over for him in the lead role. And apparently doesn't have quite the ticket-generating name that Billy Joe has. I guess you want to see Billy Joe do American Idiot. That'd be the ultimate, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Gary Numan, who gave us Cars. Oh, I love that song. I love Cars. We'll have to get some Cars a little later on today. We'll have to crank that up for you people. He's 53 years old today. Actress Cameron Manheim turns 50 years old. Actor. What was her big break? With The Practice, right? Is that what made her?
That's what I know her most from, yeah.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, again, I mentioned last night I was at the Paley Fest for White Collar. The host of the evening, the moderator of the panel, was apparently a huge White Collar fan by the name of David E. Kelly.
No way!
Yeah, he was the guy asking the questions up on the stage.
And that's not one of his shows, right?
Not at all. He has no connection
to
it.
That?
He's just a fan. So he volunteered to do the moderating, which I thought was interesting. A lot of the cast had done guest starring roles on his shows previously, though, so there were some sort of inside jokes. Willie Garson, one of the actors, said that this was the best work he had ever done because he had done a practice, and that was effing miserable, he said. So he gave a shot to the moderator. Freddie Prinze Jr. is 35 years old today. James Vanderbeek. Dawson! Celebrates his 34th birthday. And tattoo artist and pal of the show, Kat Von D, celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6:07. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. April Foolishness, just announced on the show yesterday, is coming up this year. Saturday, April the 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Woo!
Another great lineup for the third year in a row. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel is going to be there with the house band from the Jimmy Kimmel Live TV show. Cleo and the Cleetones. Apparently we got a Cleto fan in the room with us today.
Oh, I love me some Cleto.
By the way, they are, and I say this knowing full well that the Roots are the Jimmy Fallon house band. Yes. I think Cleto and the Cleetones are the best band in late night television.
I agree.
Unbelievably tight. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good.
Jay Moore on stage, our friend Patton Oswalt once again, Ray Romano bringing what he calls his old man comedy.
No.
He sells himself short. He's amazing. No. Jim Jefferies, let me tell you, Jim Jefferies, not a name on everyone's tongue. You will walk out of there a fan for life when you see Jim Jefferies live. He is tremendous.
Yes.
Our friend Bill Burr is going to be there. Steve-O is going to be doing some of his patented stand-up that involves fire, apparently.
Yeah.
The Axis of Awesome will be there. And Doug Benson. All of that on one stage for one night only. Street Team members, this Thursday at 10 is when you can buy your tickets, including the Fancy Smancy section. And that that involves a backstage party and backstage parking and pit tickets and the whole deal. So, I mean, it's a tremendous show. You can get all the details at kevinandbean.com. All right, we'll talk to Fred Willard here in just a couple of minutes. First, though, Ralph, you were talking about Charlie Sheen getting fired yesterday in the showbiz.
Yes, I was.
And we both were surprised by that because it seems like there's so much money to be made. They're going to, you know, stick with their star, dance with what brung you.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I guess the other part of the story and the other shoe that needs to drop and the reason John Cryer is sitting around watching, you know, looking at, on TMZ every 15 minutes is what's going to happen to Two and a Half Men. I wanted your opinion on whether there is a Two and a Half Men, if the show's framework is strong enough to continue without Charlie Sheen, or is it like House where nobody wants to watch it if Dr. House isn't on the show?
Well, no, I think it's the former because the premise is a wild bachelor type guy and a settled down recently divorced kind of guy live together in this house. They're brothers and they raise this kid together. It is very sort of format and genre based, you know, as opposed to being based on a particular character or a particular actor. This is sort of a situation comedy in the truest form. So I think they could easily plug in another Lothario type like Charlie Sheen played and then move on with the show. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that be the direction they go in.
But what did you think when John Stamos' name was being thrown around? Because to me, seemed like a great choice,
yes,
right?
Perfect casting. If they went with someone like a Stamos, I think it'd be a great idea. And look, this has happened before. Charlie Sheen himself was a replacement when Michael J. Fox got ill and had to leave Spin City. Charlie Sheen stepped in to play that same role, in essence, and the show went on for another two seasons. So it can be done, has been done.
And people were probably asking the same question when Michael J. Fox left the show. Is that show doomed now because he's gone, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, believe it or not, they haven't made the announcement yet. We don't know what's going to happen with Two and a Half Men. The rest of this season is shot, but will it be back for next season? In Hollywood right now, it's a pretty hot role to get because you're stepping into a show that is already a huge hit, right?
Yes.
And they're talking to some pretty big names. I mean, I mentioned John Stamos. I think he's now saying that he's not interested in doing it. But you're going to be really surprised to hear some of the people that they're talking about filling Charlie Sheen's shoes. I mean, we have the audition tapes. I don't know how we got them. But apparently these are some of the people who are trying to be taking over that role on Two and a Half Men. For instance, the great Harrison Ford. Now, you wouldn't expect Harrison Ford to be doing a television show, right?
Well, the movies have been lackluster. That Morning Glory he had that came out, that was a big stiff at the box office. So maybe he's going to do TV like so many other movie stars have.
Maybe so. Let's hear a little bit about what he would sound like if he were in the Two and a Half Men role.
Jake, I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, how are you doing? I kind of wonder about you. I'm going to Las Vegas. And rather than when you get back, I got to go.
Poor Charlie. Went to Vegas and forgot his hooker money.
Wow. That would be good.
I don't know. I have trouble making out what Harrison Ford is talking about.
No, but he's like mysterious. I like that.
He is mysterious. Yeah. You can imprint your own plot points onto Harrison Ford. I have no idea what he's saying. Another big name from the movies, and I'd be shocked, but he has been doing TV movies lately, so maybe that's the transition for the great Oscar winner Al Pacino. Now picture Al Pacino in Two and a Half Men. Here's his audition.
I don't get it, Charlie. I'm a good guy. I try to do the right thing, and I have nothing to show for it.
Oh, yeah. You're a loser. Come on now. You, with your ugliness and your inability to score with ladies. Wow.
Was it really necessary to list the entire fiasco?
I'm just calling it like I see it. And the way I see it, you're a loser. Ooh. Oh, can't believe I'm related to you. Oh, come on now.
Oh, my God. Do you have any idea how long it would take me to earn that kind of money?
Ooh. Well, maybe you could raise some money offering loser lessons. Oh, come on now.
Wow. Now, that I would watch.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now, do they bring in the new guy and he also is going to be a mysterious brother that we've never met before to John Cryer's character?
He's going to be the long-lost brother that apparently was lost at sea and they thought he was dead, but they never found a body.
And finally, I don't know if this will happen or not, but much has been made of Governor Schwarzenegger now that he's out of Sacramento. He's going to get back into acting. He's already talking about some movies. Maybe he's interested in doing this television show. Give him a chance to, you know, stay home, live in Los Angeles, work 3 days a week and make huge money. Here's what Arnold would sound like on Two and a Half Men according to his audition tape.
Alrighty, here we go. $38.41 for school pictures.
Thanks. Forgot to sign it.
Did I? Silly me. Alan Jerome Harper, D.C.
District of Columbia?
No, it's a doctor of chiropractic. Oh, you're so incredibly stupid and fat. Oh, you're so fat you should get to a gym and lift some weights and try to lose all the incredible fat that you carry.
Wow.
Two and a half men, they should call this five men with your enormous fatness.
Wow, they're picking on the kid for being a little chubby.
No kidding. Wow, it would be a different show. All right, well, stay tuned. We'll see if it's going to be one of those guys or somebody else. The project unfolds right here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey!
Hey! The great Blink 182 on 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's 623. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, I'm doing something here, Ralph.
Yeah.
I got something I need to talk about here. What are you doing?
Yeah, I got something we need to talk about, too. We've got a problem.
What?
Well, let's just call this next segment this.
Beans f-ing lost it.
Beans effing lost it.
How have I lost it? I'm the only one making any sense on this topic. What are you talking about?
Your theory, the way you went off yesterday on this news story made us all realize in the office that you finally effing lost it.
All right. I haven't, and I'm sure the listeners will agree once they hear the compelling evidence. Look, here's the thing. There's a lot of Charlie Sheen news on TMZ.com. You almost can't get away from it. Every post is Charlie Sheen. But somewhere a few days ago, in between the Charlie Sheen posts, they had a story about Eric Clapton that I think deserved more attention. TMZ photographer saw Eric Clapton at a Southern California laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually video, by the way, of the TMZ guy talking to Mr. Clapton. Oh, Mr. Clapton, yes. What are you doing? Oh, you're a regular guy. Oh, you're doing laundry just like us, right?
Right.
And Clapton's taking shirts out of the laundromat, out of the dryer, and he's folding them up. He's sitting there waiting for his laundry to be done, like regular people, right?
Yes. So far, non-story.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Except for what's Eric Clapton hiding? What kind of cover-up is going on here where Eric Clapton has to go to a seedy, coin-operated laundromat to wash clothes that are what? Covered in hooker's blood? What do you imagine the reason is that he's out there?
I'm guessing he just needed clean clothing. That's what my guess is. That's why one goes to a laundromat to do one's laundry.
All right. When was the last time you went to a laundromat, Ralph?
It's been quite some time because I've owned a washer and dryer for many years. They certainly do break.
I'm saying that Eric Clapton, it's been decades since he's been to a laundromat unless he's got a crime to cover up. Look, here's the thing. And I put up a post. I put up the photo. You can see Eric Clapton at the laundromat.
I put up a post
at KevinandBean.com. And here's what I'm saying. If he has a place in Los Angeles, by the way, Eric Clapton, I should backtrack for folks who don't recognize the name, guitar god, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, three times over, by the way, three times he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Solo in bands?
Yardbirds and Cream, right? Okay. I mean, he's one of the all-time, you know, richest and most famous British musicians.
Yes.
Right? So he probably has a house or houses in Southern California when he's visiting. And Lisa, as you mentioned, he's in town because he's got a concert. Got a concert tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably got houses. If he's got houses, he has a washer dryer or has staff to do his clothes. If he doesn't own a place in Southern California, then he's probably staying at the Beverly Wilshire or some nice hotel where they can do his laundry for him, unless he's got laundry he needs to hide for some reason because he knifed a drifter. I mean, there's no other explanation as to why he would be trying to wash clothes away from bringing the DNA into his own place.
Well, I have another explanation.
Beans lost it!
Yeah, that may be the other explanation.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So first, I'm this close to calling the police and having them walk out on stage tonight and arrest Eric Clapton for murder. That's how serious I am about this.
Arrest him for starching? What are you going to arrest him for laundering?
So I did a little bit of research and I found out that even though I think I'm right, I now have some backup from some guy on the internet with a YouTube video. Now I don't know who
then it's got to be for real if it's on YouTube.
I don't know who this dude is, but he makes a lot of sense and he's got his own theories as to why Eric Clapton is in a public laundromat. Listen up.
Hey, how you doing? I just got in. I turned TV on and I don't normally watch that show. But it was on, and it's called, what is it, TMZ?
I mean, so far he sounds reliable, right?
Yeah, he sounds well plugged in to the zeitgeist.
They say Eric Clapton was in a laundromat doing his laundry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that a lot of you guys don't know who Eric Clapton is, and a lot of you do. So for those of you that know who Eric Clapton is, do you really think this guy that made millions of dollars is going to schlep his laundry down to a laundromat, a quarter and a dollar?
No, I do not, as a matter of fact.
No, he won't. The guy won't even pick up his own laundry, let alone wipe his own ass.
Exactly.
Wow, hold on. Okay?
What? The guy's making a lot of sense here. There's no reason for Eric Clapton to be in a public laundromat, Ralph.
Maybe
None.
He's a regular fella. Maybe he's just an average guy who had some dirty clothes in his car and said, oh, there's a laundromat, I guess I'll go in there.
Or maybe it's not Eric Clapton, but he's been replaced by a robot, as Jesus prophesied, as our friend is about to tell us.
They don't do the laundry at the Five and Dime, okay? What this is, though, is it's another one of these things that's supposed to look like Eric Clapton, but isn't Eric Clapton. Hey, let's make it into a riddle. What looks like Eric Clapton and sounds like Eric Clapton, but isn't Eric Clapton? And what did Jesus said? He said, there are those that look like men and will die like men, but aren't men.
Right.
See, more and more of this crap's getting out. And these shootings with these people, either the perpetrator gets away with no fingerprints or nothing, or they wind up killing them and you never hear another freaking thing about it.
Yeah, all those shootings.
What I'm hearing from you, Ralph, is that you hate Jesus and all that he stands in, and that you're for shooters who get away with it.
Well,
that's what I'm hearing from
you. We do have just a glut of fingerprintless murder suspects in our legal system. He does have a point.
All right. Maybe it's not a robot. All right, I know it seems unlikely. Perhaps it's not an Eric Clapton-like robot in the laundromat. Maybe there's another theory. My friend on the internet, who has my back and I have his, has another theory too.
The stuff is coming out. It's coming out. Go look on TMZ and look at the story about Eric Clapton doing his laundry.
Okay.
I can assure you that you, if you had just $1 million, would not be going down to the local scumbag laundromat.
Absolutely.
And doing your laundry.
You're right, sir. I know you're right.
Okay? Excuse me. Let me interject this. Either it's an imposter that is robotic.
Right.
Or of some nature, spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, it is a story within a story.
Yes.
In other words...
Now listen to this, okay? Now's where it gets interesting. Now's where international intrigue gets brought into the story here. There's more than just Slowhand doing his laundry.
Right. First of all, this guy owns birds, so I know he's crazy.
Yeah, he does own birds.
Yeah, I can tell.
All right, here's his final theory, and this one makes a lot of sense to me too.
The story of him going down to the laundromat is a cue to somebody else who's sitting in a motel room or somewhere else in the world, and that's giving them the okay or the nay. Time to go ahead with the next plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's something very hokey going on here.
Yes.
Millionaires don't do their own laundry.
Exactly, no. Sir. So
good
what
point.
He's saying is Clapton has the thing planned out where he knows the photo is going to get taken. He knows it's going to be posted on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And now the terror cell that he's working with in Africa or wherever it is,
right.
They see that and they go, all right, now I know what my instructions
time is
are
now.
For my next move. The time is now, right.
The
exactly.
Next thing you know, Jeff Beck is making his own Xerox copies down at Kinko's. That's the next signal in the grand international plan. I see. Okay.
What I'm saying is these are the only possibilities. You can go to kevinandbean.com. You can see the story. You can see the video for yourself, and you can vote. Either Bean's right, he killed a drifter, which right now is at 27%.
Uh-huh.
Yes, a robot replacement is at 6%.
Right.
Probably a message to the terrorists is at 3%.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a regular dude doing the wash.
Right.
Well, that's at 54%.
Oh, look at that.
That just shows you how blind the people are. It just shows you the sheep that are out there, right?
Uh-huh.
And then other theories, 9%. We don't have time to get into those.
And also, there's the choice F if you want to choose this one.
Beats lost it.
Yeah. That's what I vote for.
Exactly. You're listening to... Oh, wow. Cool. That's what I'm talking about.
Can we wait till the song's
over? Yeah, come on, Muggs. 106.7 KROQ is the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:39. All right, this has been a strange half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were supposed to talk to comedy god Fred Willard about a half an hour ago.
Yes.
And right before we were getting ready to go on the air, we heard from his people. No, Mr. Willard is on stage. And we thought, how is he on stage? Well, he's in Florida. But in Florida, it's still only 9 o'clock in the freaking morning. Fred, are you doing the show for senior citizens? What's going on, dude?
Are you doing the breakfast show, Fred?
I'm doing the show for young people who haven't gone to bed yet.
Oh, I see.
It's one of those corporate shows. I'm now doing the voice of La Quinta Inns, and they're doing a big corporate event here in lovely Boca Raton, Florida. And so they're just presenting a show, and I came out to do some introductions. And they're treating me very nicely, but there's that time problem. So thanks for holding on and talking to me.
Well, of course. You're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show, Fred. We've been lucky enough to have you on many times in the past. You are a comedy legend. And I can't believe it. With all you've done, how hard you're still out there working, man. Still out there getting the job done.
Well, still doing, if someone asks you to do something, you say sure. So here I am. But you can't turn down Boca Raton, Florida.
No.
It's so wonderful. And so here it is.
Yeah. Now, I kind of lost track of you after Fernwood tonight. You've been busy?
Oh, stop it.
Well, since Fernwood, it's been pretty much a blank.
All right.
My agent keeps telling me he's going to give me a shot on the Sullivan Show. That's not even on anymore. I've been doing on and off things.
Yeah, Fred Willard, by the way, for folks, you're no friend of mine if you don't recognize the name. Everything from Anchorman to Harold and Kumar to Wall-E to The Wedding Planner to all the great Christopher Guest movies, including Spinal Tap and Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show. I mean, What a career. And now you're doing something new, Fred. You got an internet talk show, which really surprised me. I was dying to figure out how a guy like Fred Willard gets roped into doing an internet talk show. What's up?
Well, is this the one with Barry Sobel?
Yes.
Yeah, the three-minute talk show it's called.
He has this wonderful idea, a three-minute talk show. And I said, that's great. He does a few seconds monologue. We interplay on the set. Then a musical act comes out and plays about a minute, and the comic usually gets one joke in. And Barry says, that's it. And Tom Hanks is the producer. And it's a lot of fun. Barry Sobel's a riotously funny guy. And we did that. They're being accepted. Well, I don't know. They say it's on the iPod. I don't understand what the heck that means, but people are enjoying it. And I'm the voice of these Latinta commercials, which I and I'm not saying just saying this. I'm doing them. They're very. And now I'm doing a play that Mary Willard wrote. It's called Death Troop. It's kind of like a death trap, you know. There's a murder, there's a robbery and a murder, supposedly at this inn in New England, and I own the inn, and I'm putting on dinner theater. People can't get in, and people can't get out, and it's a lot of fun. We're opening this week, so I'm cutting it pretty short. I probably should have told the director I couldn't be there tonight.
Yeah. You are. He's a multimedia sensation, is what I'm telling you. Death Troop opens at the Grove Theater in Upland this weekend. That opens Saturday night, runs through the 27th. And 3 Minute Talk Show is available online. If you just Google 3 Minute Talk Show, you'll find it. It was interesting to me that Tom Hanks, his Playtone Productions, is behind this. But I mean, he's such a smart guy and such an astute businessman. I'm sure he sees the future of this. I mean, more and more content is going to be showing. You know, like the Funny or Die. Some of those Funny or Die videos, Fred. You know, they get more views than some of the television shows that are on the network. I mean, you absolutely go to where the entertainment is.
You know, and occasionally I think what it must have been like back in the 40s to be a star. And now today, everybody seems to have a show everywhere. iPod, wireless, people are watching TV shows on their cell phone. But so some of the funniest stuff is coming through the web series and all.
Yeah.
And Barry Sobel has been talking about this for years. And I guess Tom Hanks is a good friend of his. And I just read Tom's biography, and he's a very interesting guy. And he's producing it, and he was a guest on the show. And, you know, when Tom Hanks asks you to be on a show, you don't think. You say, sure.
Yeah, absolutely, right. And, this is the voice of our friend Fred Willard on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the 3 Minute Talk Show. Hey, Beer Mug, give me a little bit of that theme song sung by the great Ben Lee from Fred's Talk Show.
It's a 3 Minute Show. You know, one of those. It's 3, 4, 5 minutes. You know how that goes.
Yeah, there you go.
And, of course, that's it.
It's a catchy tune.
It is a catchy tune. And the little songs that Ben Lee sings throughout the show are very, very funny. And Fred plays the Andy Richter to Barry Sobel's Conan O'Brien. He's the famous sidekick there. And you've had some tremendous guests. You mentioned Tom Hanks. Here's a clip of when you had John Cryer on. Couldn't have better timing having John Cryer on talking about 2.5 Men. Listen up.
Yeah.
You're one of the most successful people on planet Earth, and you're number one. Can you give us some advice on being number one?
Well, do a show with Charlie Sheen. Because it's always fun. You get to check TMZ to know whether you got to go into work that day. Which is great.
You see,
kick back, everybody. Daddy's got the day off.
Fred, you've been in show business a long, long time. You've worked with lots of very talented people, and I assume some troubled people along the way, too. What do you make of this whole Charlie Sheen situation?
Well, I myself am affected. I have to go to rehab after watching all those Charlie Sheen interviews. I'm in recovery. It's an overdose, so it's affecting all of us. And it's putting this whole Libya thing on the back burner.
Finally,
yeah. We're all concerned about him. I'm not saying what we're concerned that he does. I won't say that on the air, but, we're all concerned and interested.
All right. The 3 Minute Talk Show is available at onestudio.com. That's the number one studio.com.
I think it's L Studio, I think, Bean.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
oh,
L Studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or you can just Google 3 Minute Talk Show.
There you go. Invited Charlie out to see Death Troop, and he said he's going to come, and I said, oh, maybe we shouldn't have invited him because that'll be a big circus out there.
Death Troop opens Saturday night in Upland at the Grove Theater. Go to grovetheater.com. And Fred's got a new movie coming out on DVD called Your Love Never Fails. That is available everywhere April 5th. Fred, we appreciate you squeezing us into your busy schedule on stage at 9 a.m. for the old people. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Yes.
And the young people.
Of course.
That joke. Okay. Nice talking to you.
See you, Fred. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Facebook apparently is mentioned in 1 in 5 divorces these days.
Wow.
That's huge.
See?
See? This is why I don't have the Facebook, man. I'm telling you, bad things happen when you're on the internet.
Because you think it might end your marriage?
Who knows? I don't know. We're going to find out what that's all about coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph joins us for another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Good news for 9% of Americans. Winning means unemployed. So congratulations. If you're currently unemployed, apparently you're a big winner. This according to Charlie Sheen. Couldn't be more pleased, he said yesterday after Warner Brothers fired him from his hit TV show Two and a Half Men.
Oh, thank God I don't have to make $2 million for four days a week work.
Thank God I don't have to do a really mediocre sitcom and make a lot of money. Finally, I'm free of the... I've shed those shackles, those chains that have binded me. He actually got up on top of the Live Nation building here in Los Angeles and said, free at last, free at last. Quoting the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Yes. Right. And I think Charlie may have misinterpreted what Reverend King was saying. I'm not sure, but... Listen, if it was that horrible, couldn't Charlie have quit any time?
Yes, he didn't have to renegotiate his deal and sign a new two-year contract last year if he hated it so much.
That's what I'm thinking. If it was right. So horrible, if Chuck Lorre was such a taskmaster and the work was so brutal, I think Charlie could have said, you know what, I'm gonna leave.
He does make it sound like he just figured out a way to get out of a mining job or something like that, where he'd have been beaten every day while he lives underground.
Warner Brothers maintains that Charlie violated the morals clause in his contract, including felony acts of moral turpitude. Yes. Warner Brothers also claimed they had an airplane waiting to take Charlie into treatment anytime he would say yes to it, and he would have none of it. And then he fired his sobriety coach over there at the Sober Valley Lodge, also known as his home. Mm-hmm. So they said, look, we did everything we could. Sent a 11-page letter to Charlie's lawyers and saying he is officially fired.
It's funny because you've seen so much in his interviews where he talks about how, you know, when it was time, when it counted, when the money was being made, when he showed up for the taping between the white lines, he was great. He delivered tremendously. And one of the things Warner Brothers was saying yesterday is we have hundreds of hours of outtakes of Charlie Sheen screwing up his lines.
Right. They said he would show up with what they called drug fatigue. And create what they also claim were onset failures. I love that phrase.
I do too.
So apparently, Charlie, not quite the pro as he would have us believe when
this
he was
getting ugly.
Doing his radio interview saying, yeah, I used to have to lean up against furniture. But that's a pro move. It's a pro move. Yeah, maybe not so much.
I'm an F-18, bro.
What will women in Hollywood do for beauty and glamour? Well, Us Weekly Magazine has a very interesting article listing the serious injuries Hollywood stars have occurred, that have occurred with Hollywood stars wearing high heels. Injuries from high heels from the women in Hollywood. Jenna Fisher broke her back falling downstairs in high heels.
Oh, she did. Yeah, I remember that.
She broke her back. Yeah, apparently the heels were to blame. Mm. She fell down the stairs. Mariah Carey ended up in a wheelchair when she fell off stage in her high heels. Sarah Jessica Parker awoke in the middle of the night in extreme pain, only to find out she had torn tendons in her foot after running down the street in high heels that day.
Lisa, do you ever wear high heels?
I do.
I can't imagine why one would.
I'll tell you,
I really can't.
They make you tired. Like, you have to think about what you're going to do that day and how far you're going to walk, mm-hmm. honestly, before you put them on, because it really wears you out.
They don't make any sense to me.
Lisa's feet are usually in the air when she's wearing them.
That's how you should wear high heels.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
I don't think you know what I'm saying.
I think we get it.
Jennifer Lopez gouged herself with the spiked heel of her Christian Louboutin shoes in February. It bled so much, EMTs had to be called.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She was bleeding out because she speared herself with a Louboutin heel. Mm. That's bad. You know, it's funny, this list has got so many stars on it. You got Jenna Fisher, Mariah Carey, Sarah Jessica Parker. You know, Us Weekly, they do a fine job putting these lists together, but I'm still surprised because there's so many names of female celebrities here who have injured themselves wearing high heels. Right? I am surprised that even a quality publication like Us Weekly magazine could find the space in this list to talk about Jennifer Lopez and her injury. I'm shocked. And yet, really, when I sit back and think about it, When I take a good, long, hard look at this list, it dawns on me.
What's that?
There's always room for J-Lo!
Yeah!
Oh, feels good. Feels good to get it in once in a while. That's right, Gary Busey. Speaking of J-Lo, you're watching The American Idol, Bean?
Yes, I am.
We had a chance to talk about it last week because you were on vacation. Right. But I think one of the best seasons ever.
I absolutely agree. There's so many people to root for now in the top 12, as opposed to last year where you were hard-pressed to find anyone you cared about going on.
A lot of talent.
Mm-hmm. They had to cut some people last. They had to cut some people last week who would have been in the top five last season.
Yeah, and I've been impressed by the judges as well. I think they're doing a great job.
And I hear the ratings are way up. I mean, now they're not just matching last year; they're up from last year as a result of the talent and the judges.
I don't know if you saw the interview with Simon Cowell recently talking about his new show on Fox, The X Factor, and they naturally asked him, "What do you think of American Idol this season?" And he said, "Look, I still love all those people over there; they're still my friends." And I really wanted them to do well, but not this well. I think he was a little upset that they're having one of their best seasons ever, and he's not involved. So, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kat Von D is 29 years old today. Guitarist Andy Ross of OK Go is 32. Love their videos.
Mm-hmm.
As a band, they make great videos. Singer Tom Chaplin of Keen is 32. James Vanderbeek, you know him as Dawson. Although he's got some very funny videos over in Funny to Die, if you want to check those out. He's 34 years old. Hines Ward, Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver and current dancer on Dancing with the Stars, is 35 years old today. Freddie Prinze, also 35. Cameron Manheim celebrates her 50th birthday. And singer Gary Numan celebrates his 53rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's our all skate for today from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. It is 7:09. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Just announced yesterday, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. It'll be here before you know it. In fact, what are we, 3 weeks out from Saturday, April 2nd, I think? Gibson Amphitheater live on stage this year. Another phenomenal night of comedy. Ralph, you pointed out yesterday, you won't find a lineup like this on any stage anywhere in the country all year long.
No, it doesn't happen. Not in Vegas, not anywhere. You don't see this many A-level comedians performing in one location on one night. It just never happens.
Especially when you look at you know, some of the people who are so generously donating their time because we are raising money for the Wounded Warriors Project this year. A guy like Patton Oswalt could sell out the Gibson Amphitheater on his own. Yet he's kind enough to come down and do a set for us. You know, basically he's working for free so that the money that you pay with your ticket prices goes to the great charity. Jay Moore, same deal. Ray Romano, same deal. Jim Jeffries on the bill this year. Comedian Bill Burr. Steve-O is going to be making his comedy debut at a Kevin and Bean event, but apparently he's just been doing great. He's been playing improvs all over town. Apparently he's hilarious. Doug Benson, very excited to see him live that night. The Axis of Awesome are going to be there. They do something a little bit different. Hilarious. You'll love them. And, of course, Jimmy Kimmel's house band, Cleto and the Cletones, are going to be back as our house band for the evening, too. So it's a great night of entertainment. Tickets go on sale for street team members this Thursday at 10 o'clock. Go to kevinandbean.com, get all the details, and buy your tickets. This will sell out. So definitely plan on buying your tickets. Make sure you're a street team member. It is free and easy to sign up. All right, let's turn our attention to the Facebook. Ralph, what's this latest statistic and why should I care?
Fascinating story. The study has proven, and this comes from the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, so these are the people who know divorce. They say that Facebook is cited in one out of every five divorces in the United States. They say that Facebook is causing an increase in cheating. Perhaps 66%. How about that? That Facebook is the unrivaled leader for online divorce evidence, with 66% citing it as a primary source. So the women and men are going on their partner's Facebook accounts and saying, here is the evidence my wife or husband is cheating with this girlfriend or boyfriend from high school, this person they know from work, whatever. Lots of intimate conversations being had on Facebook, and it is one out of five in every divorce case is one of the major reasons for the divorce.
Well, as we were talking about much earlier today, you are opening up the circle of people that you have interaction with once you're involved in social media. It used to just be the people you knew in person. And then, Lisa, as you pointed out, we had a rash of this when email began because all of a sudden you were allowed to have private conversations 24/7 with people that maybe your spouse didn't know about via the email. And that was cited at the time as something that was breaking up a lot of people.
But Ralph brought up a really good point in terms of old flames, because I think this is a big thing with Facebook, is that so so many people are finding old boyfriends and girlfriends.
Yeah, you're back in touch with everyone you ever knew from high school, from college, people you used to work with. You're reestablishing relationships with people perhaps you had sex with in the past. And, and you know, it's a lot easier to have sex with someone you've already had sex with than it is to find somebody new to have sex with.
And
to
idealize
that. They never come back for seconds with me.
Well, not you, but I'm saying most people. If you had a prior intimate relationship, it's very easy to rekindle that if you have the intention. Now, this study does say that usually these situations arise in marriages that are strained to begin with. So there's some problem in the relationship, and then one of the parties involved goes outside of the marriage via Facebook to cheat. But they say those sort of intimate conversations that Facebook lends itself to lead to more severe forms of cheating in terms of actually acting on those thoughts and feelings, and that is a cause of divorce in 1 out of 5.
Well, every marriage goes through rough spots, and it's just so much easier to find solace now with somebody through Facebook. Before, you just kind of had to grin and bear it, but then you get through it.
That's right. By the way, we're going to take your calls if you have a Facebook story. Facebook caused trouble in your relationship is what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Now, I don't have Facebook, and I know that makes me a real oddity in the 21st century.
You don't like people.
I don't care for people. I'm not a social person anyway, so I'm not on the Facebook.
No.
But is it the type of thing, Ralph, for instance, in your house, is your Facebook opened for your wife to see the messages back and forth, photos back and forth, whatever it is back and forth, or is it more of a private thing like an email?
Facebook is fairly open. My wife is obviously one of my friends on Facebook, so she can go onto my Facebook page, and there on that page is listed all of the postings from other friends that they've put on my wall. It is sort of an open forum. However, Facebook does have a capacity to, you know, instant message and to send private messages to the people who are your friends. So if you wanted to have a conversation or a relationship on Facebook on the down low, you could absolutely do it.
Right. And I think it's interesting. You brought up the exes, maybe the high school or college flames or something like that. Even beyond that, though, somebody that previously you might have met, let's say you work in an office and somebody in your company works in another office. Well, maybe you may have met that person one time in the past and never saw them again. Now, because of Facebook, you friend each other and all of a sudden you've got this communication pipeline that wouldn't have existed before, where it's as casual as you want it to be or it's as serious as you want it to be. And now you have a way to contact this person and they you, where that just didn't exist before.
Right. If you meet somebody at a conference or something for work, you can just type their name into Facebook, do a search for them and find them, and then send them an opening salvo, you know, an email perhaps that you wouldn't say these things to face-to-face to this person, but you can send them perhaps a suggestive or flirty email and see where things go. And the anonymity and the ability to hide behind the social media allows you to be a little more free than you would, you know, at a bar or something like that.
I just send my standard opening move is just to send a photo of Brett Favre's penis. That's just what I do. But that's me. All right. Let's take one before the break, and this is going to be our friend Sonia. She's on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories of woe as a result of Facebook. Story is 1 in 5 divorces cite Facebook as a contributing factor. Sonia, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
What happened?
He left his Facebook up, and I discovered a woman that was very much pregnant.
What?
With twins.
By him?
Oh, yeah.
This was your husband?
That's correct.
Okay. Wow. Now, when you say he left his Facebook up, this sounds to me like your way to save face because you had suspicions and were probably snooping around, right?
No, I'm actually not a snooper. I'm one of those people, hey, you're going to go out with your friends? Good. Have a good time. I have friends, too. Mm-hmm. I trust.
Yeah.
Trusted the wrong man.
Yeah. How's that working out for you? So what happened? And what was on his page that gave the whole thing away, that you realized he had impregnated another woman? What did you see?
Well, there was several pictures of him with another woman on there, and he pretty much always did hide his Facebook, but I never really paid attention.
Right.
And you weren't on Facebook like Ralph's wife? Oh, you did. So you weren't privy to his wall.
I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, so if we've learned anything today, it's you need to have a Facebook, too, and you need to be one of your husband's friends, right?
Oh, you need to have a fake Facebook so that you can find out.
So pretend to be someone else and start flirting with him, see if he bites at the bait?
I probably would have caught him much sooner.
Did he put the pictures of him and the other woman on his page out there in the open?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. It was out in the open, and some of his family members were on Facebook, and I'm like, well,
oh my God.
That explains why everybody looks at me weird.
Wow. That is stones right there. All right, last question for you, Sonia, and I'm so glad you called. Did you guys divorce, and part two, is he with the other woman and the kids now?
We did divorce. Mm-hmm. I'm incredibly happily divorced. And now he's going through a divorce with this woman.
Excellent.
Excellent. So everybody wins. Everybody wins. Good.
Sonia, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Because it's on Facebook doesn't make it right.
Well, that's true. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. 2011, destination number 7 is System of a Down in Berlin, Germany. One of the many things we'll be talking about with John and Shavo from that band tomorrow morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 727. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show talking about Facebook. Ralph had a story that 20% of failed marriages now are citing Facebook as a contributing factor.
Yeah.
Listen to this email.
Recent survey from the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers says that 1 out of 5 divorces, Facebook is a major cause in the cheating. It's 66%, by the way. It's primary source of cheating. So it's above and beyond right now all other forms of people getting into trouble.
This listener emails in, I can't call in or use my real name, but a good friend of mine has separate friends lists on Facebook where certain friends have access to a certain amount of information. Her husband, for example, has access to her full page. Her boyfriend has a limited view and cannot see that she is listed as married, nor see pictures of their kids.
Yeah.
Nor can they post on her wall.
Yeah, I got that email too. Read that again more carefully, where it says about the other people who have access.
Mm-hmm.
Boyfriends. Make sure you get that S on there.
Yes.
This girl's a minx. She is naughty.
So that's trouble, right?
Yeah.
Let's try Janet, 1-800-520-1067. Find out what's going on in her Facebook world. Hey, Janet, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on to. What's your story?
Good morning. I've been seeing a guy for about a year and a half and knew that he traveled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And got a message one day from a woman who turned out to be his wife, letting me know that he was married and that I needed to back off and he wasn't going to be coming to see me anymore.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Now, how long had you been dating the dude?
Over a year.
Oh, my God. So,
yeah.
So lots of sexy time and you never knew he was married?
No, I knew that he had a girlfriend that he was supposedly breaking up with. Uh-huh. But,
Maybe he does. Maybe he's got a girlfriend and a wife.
He might.
And
the
you.
The funny thing is, we reconnected on Facebook, so that's how we met in the first place.
See?
How about that? Wow.
1 in 5. You're the
that's
one.
That's right. You're the one. Exactly. Thank you, Janet. Janet's a bit of a goer, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's try Billy. Billy is on line 8. He is currently in the middle of a divorce as a result of Facebook. Billy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, man?
Hey, Kevin Bean. Here's what happened to me. So I had been married 16 pretty good years, you know, good and bad.
Yeah, as far as you knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So my wife is on Facebook late at night. I don't think anything. I'm a trusting kind of guy. And then one day she says, hey, what do you think about this guy? You think he's who he says he is? I said, shit, I don't care.
Whoa, with the language.
So she says, do you think he's who he says he is?
So I said, yeah, I guess so. So next thing I know, two weeks later, she forgets to log out on her Facebook, and there it is. And she became everything he is as far as his likes. Like, all of a sudden, she started liking Led Zeppelin. She never liked Led Zeppelin in 16 years.
Right.
She liked these movies and books that she don't even read. So she liked this. And then next thing I know, we're going through a divorce.
So she pretty much fell in love with this guy's online profile and became obsessed with him. And did they, I mean, was he living in the same town? Did they also have an in-person relationship?
Well, actually, he lived in about 8 states over. So
eight
they never
states.
Met. And then me, because, you know, I had a C and, you know, I'm not a jealous kind of type of guy. But so I created an email with his name on it and emailed her. So she's thinking it was me. I was him.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think happened?
She said, let's run away and do the nasty?
Exactly. Let's more than do the run away. Let's be lovers for life.
Wow. Oh, wow, what a complicated life you live.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, if you take the good with the bad, and something just got to go.
Thank you,
that
Billy.
Something is your wife.
Hey, one last thing, Kevin Dean, you guys
yes.
rock.
Thanks,
Thank
Billy.
You, Billy. We appreciate you listening. Let's try Ashley real quick. I know we're almost out of time. She's on line 5. She is going through a bad Facebook week this week. Ashley, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your story, Ashley?
Okay, so my boyfriend about like 6 months randomly deletes me off Facebook last night, like randomly. I call him and I'm like, so why did you delete me off Facebook? He tells me that this girl that we've had issues with left something on his wall that he didn't want me to see because I get jealous. And I'm like, so instead of deleting it, you decided to delete me. like, okay, what the hell? I was like, you're what? And then he proceeds to tell me that they have been having sex for the past year.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? Like, oh, I was so furious. So we broke up. That's never going on again. Hate Facebook.
So wait. So the way you found out that you had been dumped, essentially, is he deleted you as a friend on Facebook.
Pretty much.
I love the 21st century so much.
So much easier to break up with somebody.
So much easier. Then you don't have all the whining and the bitching and the crying.
All that virtual heartbreak so much better than real heartbreak.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Ashley, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. The band is called the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, since you were wondering, on 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It is 7:39. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Phoenix on the way, also Smashing Pumpkins and Rise Against. And we may have to fire producer Alex. I love her. She's done a great job for us, but yesterday apparently Gary Busey called and she wouldn't put him on the air with us.
Yeah, she crossed the line.
So we need to find out how that went down, coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman?
Yes.
Hello, Ralph?
Yes, sir.
Muggs, why can't I hear Ralph?
Here I am. Right
there. There you go. Thank you, sir.
There we go.
This is our hour of trying to talk people out of social media, because apparently we've already told you you will get a divorce if you have Facebook. And now I guess we're doing a feature where we're trying to talk people out of following me on Twitter. What's going on?
Yes. If you're on Twitter, you run the risk of getting one of Bean's tweets, and that just is unacceptable. It's like Charlie Sheen. Your face will melt and your children will mourn over your dead body.
Apparently, this is a feature that we do from time to time that I am strongly against. It's called Thanks for That Tweet, Bean.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Yeah, the first thing I did when I got on Twitter was immediately block Bean, because I didn't accidentally want to get one of his tweets.
What's that about, by the way? In all seriousness, what's that about? We're friends. We're colleagues.
We are friends and colleagues, yes. But here's the thing. I get enough of thanks for that info, Bean, at work. And here's the thing. It's like if you're in an abusive relationship, if you're a woman and your husband's coming home drunk beating you, you got to leave. You got to leave that relationship. So I knew that I get enough abuse at work, I don't want to get the tweets at home. So I had to block you to protect myself.
Well, just so you know, it hurts me.
And it's self-defense.
Now that we're doing this feature, though, look at the gold you're missing.
Yeah. Let's take a look at some of Bean's tweets and see exactly what I am missing.
How does one get pink eye? I'm asking for a friend. P.S. I was around anteaters this weekend.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
What the hell is that?
That's a legitimate question, by the way, about the pink eye.
I don't know anything about how pink eye...
Yeah, but people know. People. It's
WebMD!
It's better to hear from people who have experienced it themselves. Oh,
better to hear from people who aren't qualified medical professionals?
Yes, as a matter of...
And who cares about your anteaters?
Well, I didn't know if that was a factor or not. I thought that was relevant information. It's just like on House, when they go to the guy's house to see how... He lives in his apartment.
Watching a Perry Mason movie, like I do, and the guests this episode include Fritz Coleman, Fred Rogen, G. Gordon Liddy, Montel, and Regis.
Thanks for that tweet. Okay, now that's pretty interesting that all of those people were in one Perry Mason movie. That was a fascinating tweet to me.
First of all, Perry Mason, the guy who played Perry Mason, has been dead for about 40 years. So I don't know when this movie was that you were watching it. But no one cares about Perry Mason. No one.
It was, yeah, but people may care about Regis. People may care about Montel, right?
Nope.
Nope. Thank you, Omar.
Just learned Beatles' Happiness with a Warm Gun is a comment on Charles Schulz's Happiness is a Warm Puppy, not the other way around.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! Mind blown!
Okay, that did change my whole worldview, because my whole life
Your
I've
whole
assumed...
worldview.
Yes, my whole life I have assumed it was the other way around. I thought that, you know, I thought that it was the Beatles commenting on Charlie Brown. It just was a shock to me, that's all. I'm just saying, Ralph.
I'm saying not everything is tweet-worthy. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks for that tweet. The good
Bean!
Stuff.
All right, I'll bite. Who is this generation's John Denver?
How long ago did John Denver die?
I don't know, maybe 15 years.
Yeah, 15
like
years, more, I bet. I bet more. 20 years ago in a plane crash, a minor musical star died in a plane crash that no one cares about. No one is this generation's John Denver, because no one cares about John Denver.
But what's
that tweet?
Bean. Okay, I see your point on that.
No, you don't, apparently, because you tweeted it. Exchange tweets this week with radio legend Steve Dahl. If you had told Teenage Bean that he would have... That he would... If you had told Teenage Bean that, he would have said, "What's a tweet?"
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! Okay, see, that's... You see what I'm going for there, right, Ralph? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see what...
Hey!
Hey!
No, not really. No. World famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. It is 7:53. We are sad to fire producer Alex coming up after the top of the hour, but it must be done. I'm sorry to say. We will explain. Plus, we've got tickets that you can win to join us on April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California, for the third annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. You can win them before they go on sale this Thursday at 10 to Kevin and Bean Street Team members. So that's all ahead in the next half hour. Right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, I get the sense that once we fire producer Alex in the next 20 minutes or so, she will be like Charlie Sheen on top of the building waving a machete saying, "Free at last, free at last."
Maybe. So
that's what happened yesterday when Warner Brothers announced they're firing Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men. Chuck said it's one of the best things ever happened to him. He no longer has to wear those ugly shirts on that show, he said. He couldn't be happier.
But again, wasn't he working about 3.5 days a week? And wasn't he making $2 million a year to fund his exorbitant lifestyle? I mean, how bad could it be?
That's enough to make someone happy, Bean?
Well,
you're not a warlock. That's your problem.
I guess not.
You're not a Vatican assassin. You don't know what it's like. Yeah, there's a 11-page letter sent to Chuck's legal team from Warner Brothers claiming that they were firing him for cause because of multiple violations of his morals clause in the contract, including felony acts of moral turpitude, trashing his room at the Plaza Hotel, on-set failures, as they called them, because of his drug fatigue, his infamous rants against showrunner Chuck Lorre, all those reasons and many more, Warner Brothers claimed, gave them just reason for firing Charlie Sheen.
So, warning, anyone?
I don't know. Unemployed, anyone? I know that. You know who else may be unemployed soon, and I thought this was a shocking story, was Glenn Beck.
Yeah, he's had some troubles lately.
Fox executives are thinking about dropping Glenn Beck from Fox News when his contract expires in December. The reasons, this according to the New York Times, are credibility, tone, and then most importantly, ratings. Yeah, I'm guessing that's the real reason. They didn't seem to have too much problem with his credibility or tone when he was pulling in the big numbers, but he's lost more than a third of his viewers.
Well, I think he's crazy, and I think people are starting to realize that because he takes more and more extreme positions all the time on news items, and people are, at this point, they're going, "Look, I can't follow you there, dude."
Yeah. He's lost over 1 million people a night in viewers, and advertisers have pulled out as well. The New York Times reporter says the reason people are tuning out is because he's turned into a serial doomsday machine that's become a bummer to watch. So I guess people have enough bummer stuff in their lives. They don't need to compound it with Glenn Beck.
I may have mentioned this to you before, Ralph, and maybe it's not even that interesting, but I used to work at the same radio station as Glenn Beck. He used to follow me on the air.
What?
Glenn Beck, yeah. He was the DJ on After Me.
I had no idea.
How crazy is that? He was, you know, 19 or 20 at the time, I guess, and he was, you know, a real hotshot DJ. And, I knew him for a little while.
What kind of station? Was it like a top...
Top 40
station.
Top 40
yeah. station. Wow.
I never would have predicted that he would go on to do anything as intellectual as, you know, the kind of show he does now, where he actually discusses serious issues, because back then he was just, you know, he was just a party kid.
Yeah.
All. But it's just weird, you know, throughout these years to see how big he's become and the best-selling author and the tours that he does and everything.
Did he cry a lot when he was even spinning records? Did he get upset?
No, I never. I don't think I saw him cry.
Take his glasses off and cry about Lionel Richie's new song or something.
Lindsay Lohan.
It's in the news. This is a weird turn of events involving her theft case about that necklace. The surveillance video from the store featuring Lindsay the day she was shopping and allegedly walked out with that necklace is now been sold. It's going to go up on a website called necklacevideo.com. I rented that once, by the way. The necklace video. It's a very different kind of video. But I'd like to see Lindsay starring in a video, much like the one I saw. This one apparently features her walking around with that necklace and walking out with it. Now, as photos from the video have already shown up on ET Online and some other sites, but the surveillance tape itself was sold for more than $35,000. Now, this was coming from the store.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the ones that sold it. So a lot of lawyers are saying this is a PR stunt. The jewelry store is trying to generate more publicity for themselves by selling this tape, and many lawyers think it's going to affect her case, but not in an adverse way. It's going to help Lindsay, say some legal experts.
Hey, one of the lawyers we talked to yesterday, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, said the exact same thing. He also points out that now the jewelry store has made a profit off their necklace being quote-unquote stolen because they sold the tape for way more than the necklace was worth, even if they hadn't gotten it back.
Right. The necklace was valued at $2,500. Now that they've sold the tape for $35,000, it would be hard to say in a court of law that they've been detrimentally affected anyway by this theft. So,
if you could give me a pearl necklace tonight, I really need one.
And Britney Spears says she's here to stay. She did an interview with V Magazine saying her new CD, Femme Fatale, is her best work ever. That's funny, because we heard your latest song yesterday, Britney.
Yeah.
It turns out not to so much to be the case.
I can't take it, take no more. Never felt like this before. Come on, get me on the floor. DJ, what you waiting for?
Oh. Yeah, they all work.
A
little more oh. I need more
that's what I'm talking about.
All right, I can't judge this kind of music anymore. It all sounds identical, the good songs and the bad songs. I can't tell the difference anymore.
It's her best work ever.
That's what she says.
She said to the interviewer, in 10 years, I'll be right here. Of course, while she was being interviewed, she was in a gas station bathroom barefoot eating Cheetos. So she might be right. That may be where she is in 10 years. I'm guessing there's a possibility. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Gary Numan is 53 years old today.
Where's Omar with some Cars, by the way?
Gave us the legendary one-hit wonder Cars. Oh, I love that song. Cameron Manheim's 50 years old today. Poor Cam. Freddie Prinze Jr. is 35 years old. Whatever happened to Freddie Prinze Jr.? Didn't he used to be an actor? Didn't
he sure
be
did.
Working
he
in
did,
TV
yeah.
and movies?
Been laying pretty low.
James Vanderbeek's 34. And Kat Von D, tattoo artist extraordinaire, celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, speaking of Smashing Pumpkins, I believe they're one of the many bands, Ralph, that has covered Gary Numan's Cars song.
What?
Yeah, they're big Gary Numan fans as
well. Thanks for that info, Bean.
Got to get some Cars. Got to get some Gary Numan on for the next showbiz
We report. Will.
All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Before we get started with what we need to talk about here, some words of advice from our friend Gary Busey.
There will be no food fights, no water fights, no dog fights, although there will be surprises. They come even unexpected by me. So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom.
All right.
Because you're in for a hell of a ride.
We all watched The Celebrity Apprentice on Sunday night, featuring an amazing cast this year. And, of course, Gary Busey is our favorite guy. And we're thinking, oh, do we love some Busey? Oh, do we worship at this man's altar? God, I love him. I can't wait to talk to him. There must be a way.
Here's a little of the pepperoni profit from Celebrity Apprentice.
Gary Busey.
Hey, you know what would be good is wear underwear on the outside of my pants.
Yeah, that's all you need to know right there. That's all you need to know about Gary.
So here we are thinking, how on earth are we ever going to get a minute with the great Gary Busey on the Kevin and Bean Show? Then we find out that producer Alex, who's in the studio with us, is doing everything she can to keep the Busey off the air.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
You guys are liars. You're lying liars who lie.
The Busey barrier, we call her now. She's the dental dam of Busey. That's what she is.
Did or did not Mr. Gary Busey pick up the phone and call into the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday wanting to be on the radio?
He did. Would you like the story or would you like your version of what happened?
Oh, listen to the attitude.
See?
Wow. You're like Gaddafi, man. You see things your way. The people love me.
She's got that
short-timer
attitude already. Now that she knows she's being fired, she's starting to be snippy.
So
why wouldn't you let Mr. Busey on the air with us?
Well, there was no proof that actually was Mr. Busey at the time. Here's what happened. So we had about 15 minutes left in the show, 9 o'clock hour, and one of our trusty phone ops calls me and says, there's this guy who keeps calling the business line, and he says he's Gary Busey, but we're not sure. Now, a little background for the audience is we have people who call us all the time.
trying to get on Kevin and Bean with their own patent voice comedy, doing impressions, lying and saying they're celebrities. So we are
always... We've done the same thing ourselves.
Yeah, we are always skeptical. So I said, okay, you know, put him through. I'll talk to him. So she transfers this cell phone call, and the first minute is just sort of air and, like, paper.
Like, okay. So far, it sounds just like Busey.
Right. So now we know for sure it's Busey.
And then this...
Because he can't operate a phone.
Right. This older gentleman with, like, a scruffy voice starts talking to me, and he's not really sure who he's calling. He just says, I want to talk to them, those guys.
Oh, now we know for sure it's Busey.
And I was talking to him for a few minutes, one, just to make sure he said, you know, it actually was Gary Busey and the phone up was correct, and mm-hmm. I got his phone number. And I said, look, we love The Celebrity Apprentice. We would love to talk to you. Let me just check this out with NBC, and then, you know, we'll call you back and we'll set up an interview. Oh. He said, no problem. Also, you have to remember, he was quite polite and coherent, which was another reason that I honestly didn't think it was him for a minute. He didn't sound like the wacky Gary Busey on TV. He was quite sane.
But let me stop you right there, Producer Alex, in your final minutes as an employee of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh,
right.
Thank God.
Yeah. See? What? Charlie Sheen.
Yep.
Great laugh.
Looking for a machete. Why all of a sudden are you trying to inject professionalism into your job this broadcast?
Not all of a sudden. You guys have been fighting my professionalism since the day I started. You've been trying to run some low-rent dog and pony show.
So when will you learn?
Because if I put a celebrity on our show on the phone and it's actually not him, the fallout from his real people and the punking on the show, you guys would have my ass if it was not the real
celebrity.
That's
not true. You say,
that's
look.
That's absolutely
I
true.
I think this might be Gary Busey. There's a 51% if there's a 51% chance it's Gary Busey, we are saying game on.
No, you guys would have my ass on a platter.
We could have discerned on the air if it was Gary by asking him something like this.
The Integris is weak. She's suffering from Integris. How about baloney and dirt? Sperm farmers.
Yeah, see?
Ooh, sperm farmers.
Any
sperm
of that. Farmers. We could have got that out of him. We would have said, yes, this is Gary Busey.
Well, I have him booked on the show next week, but clearly if I'm fired, then you won't be talking to him, so I can just cancel it, right?
First of all, Producer Dave will handle it from here. And he'll
so then you really
through.
Won't be talking to him.
Look, here's what we're saying, and it depends on the celebrity. Look, if somebody calls up and it's a lame ass and we don't care about, then yeah, go ahead and go through the proper channels and verify and then come to us and say, hey, do you want to talk to X, Y, or Z? But if it's Gary Busey and the magic that is Busey, and by the way, who knows how long this guy's got to live?
That's right. He may not make it till Monday.
You put him on as quickly as possible. You do what Ralph says, which is, hey, this guy might be Gary Busey. That alone is worth putting the call through.
I don't care what we were talking about in the air. We should have broke in like a urgent news bulletin. We should have found out and put him immediately on the air. I don't care if we were in the middle of a song or commercials. All things should have stopped. We should have gone right to Busey. All Busey all the time.
Then I enjoy you producing that show. Congratulations. Good luck, fellas.
Oh, wow.
Why is she learning nothing? I mean, she's walking out of here with the contents of her desk, and she doesn't even know why she's being fired.
Oh,
this
no.
is kind of sad.
It is.
I don't even have a desk. Neither does Ralph or Dave. That's a whole other story.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Well, you have to clean out your pockets.
My
pockets. Wherever you keep all your equipment here. We just say we need to lay down a 100% all Busey all the time policy. There's any possibility of getting Busey on the air, we have to cut them immediately.
Well, we have him on the show on Monday to recap Sunday's Apprentice, so you're welcome. Bite
okay.
me.
What
and
the
it's
odds?
The real Gary Busey.
But what are the odds, really, that he's going to make an appointment and know how to keep it and then learn how to use that phone again? Then he's going to learn how to use a watch and know what time it is, and then we're not going to hear this.
You have that look on your face that you look like you need to be saved. Get in here and buy a pizza for $100, and you'll go straight to heaven. And I'll take you out your garbage for a week.
Oh,
I love him so much. All right, well, listen, Alex, you won't be working for the show, but please tune in
Thank
to hear
you.
Our interview with Gary Busey
awesome.
On Monday. All right, real quick, 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is big news. We are inviting you to call right now if you would like to win tickets to... How many pairs do we have to give away? Does anyone know?
Uno, one pair.
Just one? Just one, okay. You have an opportunity to win tickets for Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness. We announced it yesterday. It's coming up on Saturday, April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater. If you are a fan of the comedy, if you want to see Patton Oswalt, Jay Moore, Ray Romano, Jim Jefferies, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, The Axis of Awesome, and Jimmy Kimmel, along with his house band from the TV show Cleveland the Cleetones. If you want to see all of them, call right now 1-800-520-1067. But you have to know a joke. What are we looking for here, Ralph?
We're looking for people who know the setup and the punchline of a very, very funny joke. So what you're going to be doing is challenging one of us to see if we can fill in the punchline. If we can guess the punchline, you lose. If you beat us, then you get into the drawing.
Okay, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls, give away tickets for Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Would you like to take that back is the question we'll be asking here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's coming up in about 15 minutes or so on 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:23. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. April Foolishness just announced April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater, another all-star night of comedy. And our friend Rodney Bingenheimer has joined us in studio, the 70s and 80s and 90s musical icon, Southern California radio legend.
Rodney,
how are you, Rodney?
On the Rock, okay, all
that's right,
right.
Yeah.
Call now, Rodney, the Rodney on the Rock show. Yeah.
Actually, no, it's still Kevin and Bean, but the reason we wanted to have you come in is we discovered last year, Rodney, that not only do you know everything about music, particularly your specialty of 80s music, but you also are quite the comedy legend. Tell me about that.
Right, that is Godhead. I love comedy. I love doing stand-up.
I can't picture
jokes.
That at all.
I got a lot of jokes.
Okay, so you're willing. We can open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067, and the listeners are going to try to stump you with a joke. They're going to try to challenge Rodney's joke machine. Is that right?
I know every joke there ever was. It's Godhead. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if they can do it. 1-800-520-1067. It's Rodney and the joke machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the joke machine.
It's Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
He's Rodney the Joke Machine. The Joke Machine. He's Rodney.
All right, L'chaim.
It's like a one-man play for Mobar there. What the hell?
All right.
Lisa May, you keep track. In the event that someone is able to stump Rodney, please put them in the drawing, and one listener that we speak with will win tickets for April Foolishness, okay?
Okay.
All right, Rodney, now I know you get confused sometimes. Let's start with Billy on line three, please. I know you get confused sometimes. Now, they're going to give you the setup, and then all you have to do is come up with the punchline, okay? Are you ready to play?
I love the 80s. All right.
Hi, Billy. What's your setup for a joke for Rodney?
Hey, Rodney. Hi. Do you know what the cannibal did after he dumped his girlfriend?
What did the cannibal do after he dumped his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Sheena Easton.
Okay. All right. You're missing.
All right.
That doesn't make any sense, Rodney. Is it Sheena Easton, Billy?
Close. He wiped his butt.
Okay, see, because I get that. All right, hang on. You were in the drawing. You were able to stump Rodney the Joke Machine. Congratulations.
All right.
See how hers makes sense?
Did I win the tickets?
No, you did win, but do you see how what she said, her punchline made sense based on the setup? It didn't have anything to do with Sheena Easton, right?
Aldo Nova.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense either. Let's try Chris. Chris is on line four. He's got a setup for you, Rodney. Hi, Chris. You're on the air with the great Rodney Bingenheimer. Go ahead.
All right. Do you know what scientists are calling the new pill that turns lesbian women straight?
New pill that makes lesbian women straight. Sinead O'Connor.
Okay.
All right.
Is it Sinead O'Connor?
No, it's actually called Tricoxygen.
See, because... Okay, hang on. He came up with a punchline you didn't know, Rodney. I thought you knew all the jokes.
I thought it was Sinead O'Connor.
It wasn't. Let's try Caitlin, line five. Hi, Caitlin. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're in the running for April Foolishness. Good luck.
All right, Rodney, why was the tissue dancing?
Spandau Ballet.
Again, Rodney, you're not listening to even the setup. That doesn't make any sense.
Ballet's dance.
Is it Spandau Ballet, Caitlin?
Unfortunately not. It had a boogie in it.
Yeah. I don't understand that at all.
I like that one. Caitlin, hang on. Elizabeth, line six. You're on with Rodney Bingenheimer. Do you have a joke you can stump him with?
I do. It's why do women have small feet?
A flock of seagulls.
Okay.
All right. I win again.
No, you didn't win. Yeah. Pay attention.
Seagulls have small feet, too.
That's not what the point is. Is it a flock of seagulls, Elizabeth?
No, it's close. It's so they can stand closer to the stove.
Oh. See, now that's an excellent idea.
I get
Thank
that
you
one
much.
At all.
All right. Hang
I'm
on.
I'm confused.
Rodney, do you know any jokes?
Art of Noise.
Okay. But do you know any jokes?
Alphaville.
Okay, let's try line one. This is going to be Ro.
Sammy Hagar.
Okay.
Hi, guys.
How are you? Let Ro do the setup first. I'm sorry. Rodney's not having a very good day. You have a good chance of stumping him. Let's hear what you got.
Okay. So what kind of bees have milk?
Stray cats.
Stray cats they're not a kind of bees, cats. Rodney.
Stray bees.
The Bee Gees. Are you ready for the answer?
Yeah,
yes.
We are.
Boobies.
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 See, now you see how that makes so much more sense, Rodney?
I don't get it.
Bro, hang on. You're in the draw. Let's do one more. Let's
Stray
try
cats
Marty.
Is funnier.
Let's try Marty on line two. He's got a topical joke. Maybe all it's right. a new joke. Let's see if you know this one. Marty, go ahead. You're on the air.
All right. How much cocaine did Charlie Sheen take?
Sammy Hagar.
Okay. What? All is right. it Sammy Hagar, Marty?
No, it's enough to kill 2.5 men.
See, because that's topical. That's in the news right now.
I understand that.
All right. Everybody, apparently everybody was able to stump you this time, Rodney. So Lisa's going to do
win.
A drawing. No, you don't win.
All
but we're
right.
going to find out who does win tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. What's the answer, please?
Caitlin is our winner.
Let's go to Caitlin asking why the tissue dance. Hey, Caitlin.
I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Jimmy Kimmel, Patton Oswalt, Jay Moore, Ray Romano, Jim Jefferies, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, the Axis of Awesome, and the Jimmy Kimmel House Band.
And the Sugar Hill Gang.
No, the Sugar Hill Gang are not going to be there. We'll all be live on stage in person
Air
for
supply.
One night only on April 2nd at the Gibson. You will be there. Tickets go on sale for Street Team members this Thursday at 10. Caitlin, thank you for playing. Rodney, thank you for stopping by.
Eddie Rabbit.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It is time for Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
Look, I know there's no excuses for a lot of what passes for comedy on The Kevin and Bean Show. I get that, and you're right about that. But in our defense, we are doing 25 hours a week, and sometimes we just say something that sounds funny in our heads, and then we say it on the radio, and maybe we shouldn't, and sometimes maybe we should. But we do, at least on this program, have the opportunity to take it back.
Yes.
Usually Kevin hosts this. He's on vacation this week, so we've asked Omar to come in and make us atone for our sins. How you doing,
Omar? He's mean. He's angry. I don't like Omar.
There's no defense for what I have in store for you. There's no defense.
You know, this isn't take that back. It's not a command. This is a question. We get to decide, Omar, not you.
I'll just present the evidence.
Fair enough.
And then you guys could take it back or not.
All right.
Okay. All right. First up is, of course, Bean.
Of course.
Bean shows up in this segment a lot.
How dare you?
Yesterday, Ralph was talking about the top 10 movies over the weekend, and number one came in as Rango.
Rango came in at $38 million.
Now, how come he gets a movie, yet there's still no McCartney movie? What the hell's up with that?
Man, put that in the file beer mug.
Dude, talk about a stretch.
Rango sounds like... Sounds like Ringo, guys.
Yeah.
Don't you get that?
Once again, we understand these jokes.
Yeah.
The question is not, do you understand what I was getting at? The question is, would you like to take that back?
I don't know. I'm really on the fence. I liked it. I thought it was funny.
What? Well, that goes without saying. But consider the audience.
Based on how chilly the room got, I'm going to say yes.
Yes!
I will take that one back.
It's rare.
Back.
All right. Next up, Ralph.
Nope.
What? I got to present the evidence first.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here's Ralph talking about Cash Warren, who's Jessica Alba's husband.
Yes.
And they have a kid named Honor.
Right.
And this happens.
Cash Warren, her husband, is thrilled about the upcoming edition. So congratulations to Jessica and Cash. Cash and Honor. Next one should be checks. We honor checks.
Stop doing what you're doing.
See?
File.
See, cash and honor and checks is a financial theme through all of it.
We get it, dude.
I don't think you do.
I think
in this particular case, you don't get it. That's why you don't realize it's so good.
But we get it. Will you take it back?
That's the question.
But honor, you know, we honor checks, you see.
Ralph.
No explanation needed.
Ralph, I'm a fan of yours. I support you. But seriously, you should take that one back.
All right, I'll take that one back.
All right. Next up. Bean again.
Bean.
What?
All right. We were talking about O.J. Simpson being in a prison.
Yes.
Because of the riots. He got beat up in prison. And Kevin mentions the name of the prison, and Bean can't resist to shoehorn this joke in.
That kind
of
reminded me. Oh, yeah. The juice is in jail.
Yeah. He's at Nevada's Lovelock Correctional Center.
Lovelock.
That's ironic. And
did Kanye West name it?
Supposedly, O.J. Simpson was beaten.
See, because Kanye West has a song called Love Lockdown.
Right, that's what I was going for, yeah.
Oh. That's not even a joke.
But you hear how Kevin just breezed past it? He just didn't even acknowledge it. He's like, okay, then boom.
Well, we're all starting to learn to ignore Bean in our old age.
You see? Come on with that.
See, I didn't even get that one. I needed that one explained to me. It's usually worse than it usually is.
Okay, here's what I'll say about that. when you swing for the fences, uh-huh. when you try to hit a lot of home runs, you are right. going to strike out more than the player who's playing it safe and going with singles and doubles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say, yeah, that was a strikeout. And I will, in fact, take that one.
Yes!
Back
yes!
Back.
All right.
We're on a roll.
All right. Number four, Ralph.
Nope.
Come on. Oh, you got to hear it.
It's just a reflex.
Celebrity birthday is talking about Molly Ringwald.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Yeah.
She was in a big movie called Pretty in Pink
she
back
sure
in the
was.
Day.
She okay? sure was, Omar.
This is what happens.
Today's celebrity birthday is actress Molly Ringwald. You know what her best color is? In my opinion.
Don't say it.
She's,
no.
When
no,
she dresses up?
No.
I didn't even get to it.
File it.
No. How can you put the file? I haven't even said it yet.
No. File it.
I haven't said it.
We have faith.
I think she's pretty in pink.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
That's her best color.
If they didn't put it in the file before you even get it out.
Well, see?
Come on. Yeah.
Nope. No, I will not take that back. I'm not taking that one back.
Really?
No. She absolutely is. It was her birthday, and I think that's her best color.
All right. You're allowed not to take it back.
Dad, you're goddamn right, right. I am.
So you're Lindsay Lohan saying that you borrowed the necklace at this point, right?
I despite the evidence, and just walked out with it.
Surprise, surprise. Again, Bean, you're up.
What?
Here's Ralph ticket. He's giving away tickets to evening with the cast of Eastbound and Down.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this happens.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend an evening with the cast. And creators of Eastbound and Down.
Loaded up and trucking.
File.
Congratulations.
We're
going to
do what they say can't be done.
Okay. I don't. What, Ralph, what the hell is that? Because I had no idea. I was just like, Mike had this, you know, file already made, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that is a reference. That is a reference to a song by a country artist named Jerry Reed, Omar.
I don't know who that is.
And that song was featured
in
a movie that he also was in called Smokey and the Bandit, co-starring Burt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. And the sequel, Eastbound and Down, by the way, I'd like to point out.
Very popular film.
In what year?
I think 1938, 39, somewhere in the golden age of Hollywood.
So how many people in our audience do you think got that joke, Ralph?
Oh, me?
Bean, are you going to take it back?
I am not going to take that back.
What? How can I take that back?
Because Eastbound and Down, and then I said Loaded Up and Trucking.
Yeah, we know what you said.
But nobody got it.
And the sequel to Smoking the Bandit wasn't called Eastbound and Down,
Did you hear the crickets? I did hear the crickets, but look, just because
even the
they
crickets
don't...
were quiet.
Yeah, right. Just because they didn't get it doesn't mean it wasn't gold. I'm proud of that one.
Wow.
I'm proud of that. I am proud of. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to keep that one to myself.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to overrule you. I'm going to take that back for you because it was so bad, dude.
I didn't know.
Honestly, all right, you're going to take it back. I'm overruling you. I'm hosting this bit, dude.
Bean is like Omar's like Gaddafi.
Honestly, all right. Last one up. We actually have a listener, Matt. Bring up listener Matt on the phone.
A listener,
oh, yeah.
Wow.
What's happening, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
So, Matt, you're listening to the Mighty Kevin and Bean podcast. You actually live in Idaho, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, now, Omar, how did Matt come to do something on the air that now you think should be taken
how did
back?
Matt ended up in the file.
So it's my job to go through the Afro line, mm-hmm. right? Which, worst job in radio. Listen to who's called up and tried to be funny. But Matt called in with something that was so terrible that I included in the Afro file. And when you guys played this Afro call, you guys immediately put it in the file because we were actually, a couple weeks ago, talking to this guy who is a creator of Meatwater.
Oh, right. Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he had a flavor called hot dog water. And here's Matt's attempt to comedy because of that.
We were talking to the meat water guy, and he said that he had the hot dog flavored water. And I wondered if when you bought the hot dog flavored water, if he sent a box of chocolate starfish to go with it. And Limp Bizkit.
See, because Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Water, that was a terrible name for a terrible album by Limp Bizkit about 20 years ago. Uh-huh. Matt? What's up, dude?
Hey, I got to say that was bad, but it was strong, right?
No!
No.
That was just so bad, it's bad.
That was not strong.
Come on, take that back.
We are asking if you'd like to take it back.
A more relevant hot dog flavored water joke.
Yeah. No, but I think
I don't think that's a genre of jokes, dude.
You can always choose not to make a joke about that, man.
And I'll take it back.
Yeah! All right, Matt, you're a good man. Thank you, Omar.
Would you like to take that back?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Every hour at this time, Ralph joins us for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on in Hollywood right now, Argar?
Oh, interesting legal information is coming out about this whole battle between Warner Brothers and Charlie Sheen. The Los Angeles Times has a great story this morning about the fact that Warner Brothers' legal strategy may have been brilliant in retrospect. While Charlie went on every possible media outlet he could find and ranted and raved and kept talking and talking and talking, Warner Brothers just sat there saying nothing, giving Charlie enough rope to hang himself. The statement that was released by Warner Brothers regarding Charlie Sheen's dismissal mentions that several times they asked him for a doctor's note. That's all they wanted. A doctor's note saying what the situation was with his health, when they thought he would come back to work, when he would be healthy enough to continue with work, and she never provided them with one. So that's just one point they think is going to come up if there is some sort of legal wranglings about the situation.
And that's a good faith, reasonable request of an employee who's out, right?
Yep. They requested from him any proposal for a cure to the condition that was necessitating his suspension. So whether it was an addiction problem, whether it was dehydration and exhaustion, what was going on, they just wanted to know that he was entering into some sort of medical program to cure this, and he wouldn't do it. In fact, scoffed at it. In fact, remember when they said that they brought up the fact he may be bipolar? He said, and then what? What's the cure? Medicine? Make me like them? Not going to happen. So he was publicly announcing that he was not going to try to find any sort of medical treatment or any professional help for anything that may have been going on that was causing the problems on the set. And then on top of it, he boasted smoking 7 gram rocks.
Yes, he
remember?
Did.
Because he's only got one gear. Go.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these statements may be used against Charlie in a court of law if and when this situation goes to a courtroom. But interesting strategy by Warner Brothers, which was basically just give him enough rope to hang himself.
Yeah, and every day that he would do another interview, he appeared less and less employable.
Right. So think of all the hours of footage of video and audio they'd be able to present in court as evidence should it ever go that far. So
they have to fight with a warlock. Defeat is not an option.
That's right. Well, you lost.
They have to bring a warlock in and as a special expert witness. Have you seen him at any warlock meetings, sir? No, I cannot say that I ever see Mr. Sheen in our coven at any time. By the way, maybe we should talk to some people, some Wiccans, because they're very upset about Charlie's throwing the word warlock around, the W yes. word.
Misrepresenting their people, right?
That's right. And then I did a little riff last week, being while you're on vacation, about Charlie's use of the word warlock and how the real warlocks are cheesed off. And, you know, I said, you know, if you see a frog jumping around Charlie's backyard, you might want to pick it up and see if it's saying winning, because maybe they cast a spell on him or something. And then the Wiccans got mad at me. I got lots of angry Wiccan emails.
Didn't our guy with no arms who goes around baseball stadiums throwing out first pitches, didn't he also take offense yes. with Charlie's remarks about the droopy arm children
yes.
or something?
Armless, droopy-eyed children or something.
Right. Yeah. He's ticking everybody off.
So Charlie's in a world of hurt.
You think we could get some warlocks if we opened up the phones?
Oh, tomorrow? I'm sure we could get some people. If not warlocks, certainly some witches.
Right.
I know one, for example, that emailed me very upset that I was mocking her religion. So I'm sure they take their religion seriously as anyone does.
Even though it's bogus, right?
Oh, come on. See, it's that kind of behavior that causes angry emails. You going to take it back?
No. I'm not going to take it back. I'm loaded up and trucking.
Oh, man. Suri Cruz is on the set of her dad's latest film, Mission Impossible. What's this? Three? Four? How many
Four,
Mission Impossibles
maybe?
Have there been? Fourth one, maybe? She's 5 years old next month. And people are wondering why she's on the set sucking on a pacifier. Five-year-old sucking on a pacifier. Is that a reason for concern?
Seems old.
A little older than most, I think.
Yeah. Some people are saying it's just a reality of life. Some kids hang on to the little security blankets and stuff like that longer than other kids. Other than saying maybe it's an indicator that Suri has some problems, has some insecurity problems. Maybe she's not happy at home. That's a lot to assume just from a picture of a kid sucking on a pacifier. But look, what are you going to do? You got to speculate, right?
I don't know anything about raising little kids, but I think that they all go through their various phases at a different rate. And some of them are ready to put down the pacifier at a year and a half, and some of them not till six. I don't think it's that big a deal, though.
I think the pacifier is full of vitamins.
Maybe that's what it is.
So put her in a sweat lodge, make her exercise. Everything will be
What's
fine.
What's her E-meter saying?
I'm not sure. I think she's clear. Speaking of little kids, Justin Bieber has announced that he wants people to respect him for the man that he's become. He's not a kid anymore. So he sent out a tweet last Saturday to reveal he's taking a break from shaving so that everyone can see his mustache.
That is not going to be a good look.
Bieber's growing a mustache. Come on, who's with me? The Bieber mustache.
No, that's going to be terrible.
Cut his hair, he's growing a mustache, he's a man. No, he's not. It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. On DVD, you can get Daniel Tosh's Comedy Central special was on this past weekend. Happy Thoughts is available.
Oh, great.
Morning Glory, starring Rachel McAdams and Harrison Ford. You can check that out. The Next 3 Days with Russell Crowe and Liam Neeson. Inside Job, starring Matt Damon, is also available. And Jackass 3 with Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O, who's going to be doing April Foolishness for us. That's available as well. New CDs, Collapse Into Now by R.E.M. Are you kidding me? R.E.M.?
I'm telling you, it's the best thing they've done in 20 years, Ralph. I know it's shocking to think that they're making good records.
Maybe I was talking about R.E.M., though.
Yes, R.E.M. I'm telling you, it will surprise you how good it is. Because they've been boring for a long time
yes.
now. But they're back. They put some work into this one.
R-E-M-W-T-F. That's what I say. Glee, the music, volume 5 is available. Omar will be picking that up, I'm sure. And Avril Lavigne's got a new CD called Goodbye Lullaby, which is available today as well. Before I get to the birthdays, I've got some passes to give away. If you'd like to see the red carpet world premiere of The Lincoln Lawyer, starring Matthew McConaughey. Quite the cast, by the way, in this. William H. Macy is also in this, Ryan Phillippe. The Lincoln Lawyer happens, the red carpet happens at the Arclight in Hollywood on Thursday, March the 10th. If you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of tickets right now, 1-800-520-1067 to give away. And in case you're not lucky enough to win, it's in theaters everywhere on Friday, the March 18th, so you can check that out. Celebrity birthdays today, Kat Von D is 28 years old, James Vanderbeek turns 34, Hines Ward, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver who's now dancing with the stars. He's 35. Freddie Prinze Jr., also 35 today. Cameron Mannheim is 50. And singer Gary Numan is 53 years old today.
What the hell?
No, that is not that, Cars by Gary Numan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to hit this one. Hit it, Steve.
The best song in the world, do the robot, too. I miss doing the robot to this. I rocked a mean-ass robot back in the day. That's Gary Numan right there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, getting a lot of a lot of good feedback in the email about my Eric Clapton theory, Lisa. Listeners who are going to the show tonight are going to be keeping an eye on them for me, for starters.
Okay.
And Brian writes in and says, hey, I think you're really onto something with Eric Clapton maybe killing a guy. I heard he once shot the sheriff. So, I mean, I think you can see right there.
Dear God. It's all beans, people.
All right. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up here in a couple of minutes. First, though, here's a story that is going to really excite sci-fi fans. Blade Runner prequels and sequels are in the work. One of the most acclaimed science fiction movies of all time from back in 1982. Now there is a deal being made to make, they can't make a remake, but they can make prequels and sequels to Blade Runner. Harrison Ford apparently interested in coming back and being in a new version of Blade Runner. We thought we'd find out what's going on with the great actor who joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Harrison.
Hi.
How are you, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm going
okay. It sounded like you just breathed your last breath. If you could speak up a little bit, maybe get a little bit closer to the phone, that would help us. Okay. That's fine. Thank you. We're talking about Blade Runner, legendary motion picture. Ridley Scott was the director, one of the all-time great sci-fi movies. They're talking about going back to the franchise. What do you think?
Blade Runner.
I apologize, Mr. Ford. I don't mean to interrupt. I can't make out what you're saying.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. Right. That's what we're talking about. Okay. Wait. What are you laughing at? What's going on your end? See, he's kind of mumbly and it's hard to hear these days. You would read Harrison, you okay? you would return in the same role as the police detective Rick Deckard?
I don't know if I would return.
And you're saying that Rutger Hauer is also interested in coming back?
Well, I don't know if I can make him run, but I don't want to gone through a lot before.
Okay. Do you think that you're capable of emoting enough so that moviegoers will understand your dialogue if you're back on screen in this film?
Nope.
It's K-Rock, 106.7. KROQ. It's 9:38. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Hey, time for Ralph Garman and another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores. I want to give you a heads up in case you want to pick something up that you may have missed, especially on TV. Have you seen all the Walking Dead episodes? Have you seen all of them? Have you seen all the zombies over there on AMC?
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Okay.
But for those of you who haven't, Season 1 is now available on DVD. You can pick up the box set of Season 1. That's worth it, right?
Yes.
They did a one of your Paley Center deals with The Walking Dead the other night, and I heard from some people who went, and they showed the first episode of the next season, and apparently it's even gorier, if you can believe it.
Oh, very exciting. I went to see White Collar last night with Tim DeKay and Matthew Bowman.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, come on, White Collar's a big hit. It's over there in the USA Network.
Oh, that's where all the big hits are.
Hey, characters are welcome there, my friend. That's all I know.
I understand that, yes.
So we went there last night, and my wife has got a huge crush on Matthew Bomer, the guy who's the sexy romantic lead in this show. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get her backstage and get a photo with her. Not with her, but a photo of her with him. And she slept with it last night.
Slept with the photo?
Yeah.
Not with you, right?
Not with me. No, just the photo. Yeah. Also on DVD from TV, Hannah Montana, the final season.
Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Jackass 3D is on DVD today. You want to pick that up? Inside Job, starring Matt Damon. I'm not familiar with Inside Job.
Now, I thought Inside Job...
It's a documentary.
That was the documentary that won the Oscar, but I didn't know Matt Damon was it. Maybe he narrated it.
He narrates it.
There you
That's
go.
The one where the guy won at the Oscars and stood up and said, greatest financial collapse in history, and no one has gone to jail for it. What up?
Right, right. The Next 3 Days, starring Russell Crowe and Liam Neeson. Morning Glory, starring Rachel McAdams and Harrison Ford. Great interview with Harrison Ford, by the way.
Thank you. I thought we really pulled it out of him.
Got a lot of information out of him. Daniel Tosh's Happy Thoughts, his comedy special, was on Comedy Central this weekend, now available on DVD. On CDs, you can pick up Goodbye Lullaby, the new Avril Lavigne album.
I can't tell if she's hot or not, Ralph.
Sometimes.
Sometimes she looks really good, and then sometimes you go, whoa, fuck.
Yeah. She could use a strong dose of orthodontia. I think that would help her. Glee, the music, volume 5, is available today as well, if you're a Glee gleek. And Collapse Into Now by R.E.M., which Bean goes on record as saying is a good CD. So,
well, I'm saying it's the best thing they've done in 20 years.
Take that for what it's worth. Charlie Sheen's unemployed, but doesn't mean he's not busy. Mark Cuban owns HDNet. Are you familiar with that channel?
Mm-hmm.
Character's not welcome there, I don't think. But he says he is offering Charlie Sheen a show on HDNet. No word on what it will be yet, but Cuban says that Charlie will get to decide the format, so it could very well be a talk show. Well, judging from his Ustream programs, that'll be riveting entertainment. Oh, wait a minute. It'll be unwatchable.
This latest Ustream, and I don't know if it was late last night or early today, he is starting to look scary crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, ramblings of a madman.
But
he does not look like he's in control. Physically, he looks terrible.
Looks like
he hasn't slept
keeper.
In a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the hair's every... I mean, he's a good-looking guy, but he's figured out a way to start looking terrible.
He looks ashen-colored, like gray, mm-hmm. and his sunken cheekbones and the bulging eyes.
Yeah.
It's getting creepy out there, people.
Next stop, Suckville.
That's right. That's where he's headed. Oh, also, his buddy Sean Penn has volunteered to take Charlie to Haiti to do some mission work.
That was for real?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, I hope he does.
He told Access Hollywood, Sheen did, that he'd be happy to bring the attention of the world down there because clearly this tsunami keeps cresting. No, it really doesn't. It just did it the once, pretty much. Haiti did suffer a devastating earthquake, however, on January 12th, and experts are estimating 1 million people are still homeless due to the natural disaster. So,
well, that's what they need is Charlie Sheen. I'm
sure
feel good.
He'll be very helpful down there. Speaking of Sean Penn, you know, he's recently been rumored to be dating Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
But the New York Post says that's not her only gentleman caller. They report that she was seen drinking and hanging out with Jeremy Renner from The Hurt Locker last Friday night. That's pretty strong. Meanwhile, her future ex-husband, Ryan Reynolds, isn't doing too bad for himself either. He was spotted enjoying lunch with a German model named Agnes Fischer I know you can't believe anyone named Agnes is hot, but this one is. They were apparently having lunch in South Africa.
Yeah, I think Ryan Reynolds and ScarJo are both going to do fine for themselves romantically. I don't think either of them got a divorce and went, oh, that's it, I'll never find anyone else.
Yeah, but they're still in high demand. Tomb Raider movie in the works. Heard you guys talking about the reboot of the Blade Runner franchise. The Tomb Raider movies did very well for themselves. Mm-hmm. Both of them starred Angelina Jolie, made almost half $1 billion worldwide, a little over $400 million. Now they are rebooting the franchise. A company has purchased the rights from the video game company to do new Tomb Raider movies. And they're talking about Olivia Wilde possibly taking over the short shorts. And
wait, are we at the point now where they're looking at Angelina Jolie and going, she's too old to play the Tomb Raider? Or is it just that she's too expensive?
That old broad. Can't put her in that outfit.
I mean, seriously, what's going on here where she's being phased out?
I think now they're going to start casting zygotes into franchises so they can get more play out of them, because Angelina's a little long in the tooth, apparently, for Lara Croft.
I mean, if you don't have Elle Fanning starring in your action movie anymore, you're going too old, apparently.
Gwyneth Paltrow may be getting a record deal soon. New York Post says the Atlantic label is interested in signing her because she's been singing a lot lately in movies and on television.
She won't stop singing. She won't shut up.
Yeah, she won't. That's for sure.
Glee, Grammys, Oscars.
Oh, the Oscars. Oh, the freaking Oscars. Oh, sweet Jesus, the Oscars.
That wasn't good.
That was not good.
No.
Bean, even you have to admit, that was not good.
Well, I agree. She had performed that same song on the Country Music Awards a couple of months ago and did a much, much better job with it. I thought that was real flat on the Oscars this time around.
Yeah. So she may be getting her own record.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Bean, you have a track off of her demo, don't you? Of what she was recording, don't you have one of her songs? Don't you have one of her songs available of one of the demos? She was recording a bunch of different songs, I think, for Atlantic Records to give them an idea of what an album of hers might sound like, and then she recorded some, and then you might have one.
And they play in my jam.
I don't know if that's the one you were hoping for, but that's terrible.
No, that was Kim Kardashian. I was hoping for something goofier.
But
there we go. How about that?
Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you. All right. Here we go. Joke. Asked and answered. Moving on.
What you making? Fruitcake.
No, that's fine. So let's say you're on the Space Shuttle Discovery.
You're on the Space Shuttle Discovery.
Thank you, Ed McMahon. You're departing the International Space Station. You get a phone call there on Discovery. Hello, Space Shuttle Discovery. How can I help you? Who do you think's on the other end of that phone?
Tell me.
How about Captain freaking Kirk?
Yay!
William Shatner apparently called to give a wake-up call to the crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery on their final mission as they headed home. Shatner calling you. Pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tight.
He said, I think you should wake up. And they did. The entire phone. Today's celebrity birthday is Gary Numan. You remember his smash hit song Cars, don't you?
Here in my car, where the evening is down. Will you visit me, please? If I open my door in Cars.
Ah, I remember that video back in the day of MTV when they used to actually play videos. It was very high tech because you would look through like a tambourine and the colors would change or something. Oh, it was very, very high tech special effects on that video.
And Gary Numan, by the way, if I recall correctly, more recently, was scheduled to be at Coachella last year. Remember? And he wasn't able to come because of the volcanoes in Iceland.
Oh.
They closed traffic in Europe, remember, because of all the ash. Yeah, so he missed Coachella because of that.
Yeah, and he also was a frequent guest star in Seinfeld, you may remember.
No, that was a
Hello,
different Newman.
Newman? Remember you would say that when he came to the door?
Completely unrelated.
Cameron Manheim is 50 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr. is 35, as is Hines Ward of the Pittsburgh Steelers, currently soon to be seen on Dancing with the Stars. James Vanderbeek is 34 years old, and tattoo artist Kat Von D is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, it's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I actually am looking forward to this because it's the return of the Ace Man. Adam Carolla is going to be joining us, allegedly in studio.
Oh, stop it. That's what he told us last week, too, and then he canceled.
Promised that a lot, and it doesn't happen. But
Lies.
Adam's got a lot of tickets to sell, a lot of books to sell, a lot of podcasts to promote, so I suspect he is going to be here tomorrow.
All right.
Also, you haven't heard much about System of a Down in a while, but they are back. They've got I don't know about new music. We'll find out tomorrow, but they are definitely putting a tour together. And they're one of the all-time greats. Shavo and John from the band are going to be stopping by to see us. Ralph, you wanted to talk to some witches and warlocks tomorrow. How come?
Because they're all cheesed off, not only at Charlie Sheen, but at me. Charlie's been throwing the word warlock around quite a bit. And from what I understand, the Wiccan community is not too pleased with him taking one of their religious terms in vain and just using it willy-nilly. So maybe we could talk to some Wiccans tomorrow and see how they feel about the whole situation.
All right. A new edition of Bean's Death Corner on the program tomorrow.
Oh, good, good.
And a new Internet Roundup. All that straight ahead right here on whatever station you are enjoying currently. It's tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.